Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This won't be there, though, because they're taking MDMA.
Oh. Welcome to Pillow Talk, the No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
I'm Leah, and did you forget what kind of podcast this was?
Kind of.
For a second.
I guess I was a little worried. I'm worried about what the fact-feeling distribution is going to be this week, I guess.
And where the feelings are going to go. There might be too many of them.
I just got in my own head. I said, I am feeling a lot, but how much of it will I say on this podcast? That's on me. How are you guys doing?
Good. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. I am in my childhood home, in my childhood basement bedroom.
And that's where a girl does her best podcasting.
Yeah, definitely. This is really, I really get in touch with my id.
We're going to find your root tonight.
Is anyone more connected to their id, though, than a 15-year-old girl in their childhood basement bedroom?
Absolutely not. That's true. No. I mean, the things that I discovered about myself in my childhood basement. That's all I'll say about that. We have a lot to talk about tonight. She said, looking very overwhelmed. I don't. We just have a pay-per-view and a Dynamite. So, because I don't think I have shit to say about anything that happened on Rampage and Collision. I think we're missing Rampage and Collision this week as we speak. Close. Almost.
No, they're tomorrow. Oh, we're recording tomorrow, on Friday. Saturday.
Yes, it's Friday. Yes,
tomorrow's Saturday.
Yes.
And I was saying for the listeners.
Oh, no. I didn't know the day.
Oh.
Ann. You were.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little jab at myself. You were completely right. I did not know the day. Okay. Before we get started talking about all of it, we will just remind you that our generous listener, Tony, has donated these metal cards that we know all about. Of course, we knew all about them the whole time. They're beautiful. They're high quality. We're running a joint giveaway with Waffly Bollocks. And we will, again, post the information on our socials so that you can go and submit your information to receive some free cards in the mail if you desire. And you should desire. They're really nice. I believe nice Leah cards. Is getting one.
I am. Yeah.
I did cheat the system.
Leah got a special request, but
it's so true. I did do that.
Yeah, I think you should look happy and proud. Don't look ashamed and like you're skulking around. It's nothing to be ashamed of, okay? We work really hard on this podcast. It's okay that you got a beautiful, what card is it?
Is this like when the zoning board gets a little gift in the mail in exchange for approving something?
She's trying to avoid what card she's getting for some reason.
It's Nick Jackson. Of course I requested a Nick Jackson.
You're ashamed of getting a beautiful metal Nick Jackson card? What have you become?
I just want to replace the one that is currently on my fridge, because in the one I have, he kind of looks like Riff Raff. And the metal card... He's beautiful. He looks so beautiful.
You heard it here first, folks. Nick Jackson looks beautiful on his metal card, and he's going to be all Leah's.
And maybe you could get one, too. Not the one that Leah's getting,
no,
but
not hers.
A different
one. That one, that's her zoning board bribe, so you won't receive that one. And she could get another one. Okay, that's enough lollygagging around talking about cards. We've got to grow up, girls. And it's time to talk serious wrestling, and it's time to have conversations that we don't want to and aren't qualified to have. Okay? Mm-hmm. So are you with me, or are you against me?
There's no time to talk Supernatural Season 1 this week.
Oh, damn it.
No. We're getting questions from our listeners about Law & Order SVU, but no.
We can't address those. We have to talk about the wrestling. Are you going to help me? Are you helping me tonight? Are you going to be my good girls?
Yeah,
I'm trying to be a good girl for you. So you be a good girl for me.
Yeah. Of course, Allie. We're all here with you. Yeah, we're in it together.
Yeah, let's all just wave our drinks around a little. Cheers, sisters.
Cheers.
Okay. All right. So Full Gear was last Saturday. Let's just briefly, this was a contentious mixed bag of a pay-per-view, okay? And the internet wrestling community was really mad, and we were pretty mad also. And
it feels wrong to agree with the internet wrestling community when it's mad. I felt like a betrayal of my core self.
It didn't feel right.
Our prediction pods are always really off, but it was very funny how hopeful we were. We were like, and as long as they just move the story forward, we'll be happy. Then you know what? They didn't do that. So
they didn't. They decided not to do that. Yeah.
I mean, I will say, I think that is something that I've heard not as much complaints about. Like, or I haven't heard the complaints framed that way as much in the IWC. I am not sure a single story moved forward. Could that be?
No.
I mean, even though belts changed hands.
They did,
but I would not say that the stories were propelled forward.
Yeah, they stagnantly changed hands for sure.
It's like kind of a blink, and someone's like, "Oh, I have this belt now, and now I have this belt." Like,
oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about? Let's start by talking about that as you put it, Anne, weird apocalyptic intro to the pay per view. You feel like that it was so strange. It was like it had been written for World's End. Like it literally was being like, all things must come to an end. And it's like, that one's next month. This is Full Gear.
They probably did just like accidentally plug the wrong sound in. Like that seems like what AEW's jam is.
Because Full Gear is supposed to be the steampunk one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got our gears and our, Victorian.
Then that's about it. A Victorian gears.
Yeah.
I wish that for Full Gear, it was mandated that you had to come out in steampunk gear. I'm not saying that I would like all the gear, but that would entertain me.
I mean, it'd be fun if they had gear themes for different pay-per-views, really. Like, give them more of a personality. Like, Revolutionary War gear, you know?
Oh my fucking God. Yes.
Come out in breeches, guys. Like, remind me that it's Revolution.
Please, God, come out in breeches. I was thinking the other day that it's been a while since I really went ham for someone's gear, like for some new gear. It's been a while since I was like, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
I'd love to feel that way again.
I was going to make this observation. Well, not me. I was going to reference this observation later, but Awfully Waffly from Waffly Bollocks pointed out that Kenny had a very special gear made up for his match with MJF, but showed up to the pay-per-view wearing his oldest tights.
Maybe that was symbolic because it was about his old friends, the Young Bucks. And so maybe it was symbolism. And but you know what would have been symbolism? If the tights ripped on his butt during the match.
Yeah. If they had
Why
done
didn't
that,
they do that,
I think that would have been good symbolism.
Why didn't Kenny make sure his tights ripped on his butt during the match?
God. When Kenny's dressing like he's on laundry day, it's like that's when Kenny, he doesn't love us anymore, and we're back to it, I think.
No, but I kind of like it's like I would rather him be like looking so miserable and laundry day dressing than if he's dressed. Sometimes, like in this feud, he's been dressed nice, but I'm like, there's nothing behind the eyes right now. I love you so much, Kenny. There's nothing back there. It's just empty. Yeah. Kenny went bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay, other stuff that happened during Full Gear. Tony had announced that there would be a big signing, and that was Will Ospreay, which was exciting, but expected. And no one, I can't tell if no one else thinks it's noteworthy, but I keep asking and no one will engage with the question of, why was this announced now when he won't be coming to AEW for 6 months?
I heard it was like some kind of like slapping WWE because WWE was apparently sniffing around. So they wanted to announce that it was like that they had locked him down, I guess. But I don't know.
I guess I don't get that because I'm like, just sign him and then who cares where they sniff? They can sniff all they like. I don't get it. It just seemed so weird to me that, or I don't know, maybe it wasn't.
The timing of when they announce anyone is all elite. It seems like it's all over the place. It's like, sometimes they don't do it until someone's been all elite for like a year. It's just like, what are we doing? I don't know.
They say, we do it when we feel like it. Do you have any, we don't have to linger here for too long because we're going to get into a lot of this as we go, but do you have any kind of broad thoughts, feelings about the pay-per-view experience that you just want to purge up front?
I am glad I did not pay for it.
Yeah. I feel like I haven't really been excited about a pay-per-view like ahead of time since like spring of 2022, but every time like I watch the pay-per-view and I'm like, oh, I had a blast, like that rocked. This is the first time that I wasn't excited going in, and I did not have a blast, and I was like, I'm so glad I didn't pay for that, because, I mean, there were some high highs.
Yes, definitely.
But overall, I was not happy camper.
Tony, you heard it here first. Finally, your easygoing girls are unhappy, okay?
Disappointed me for the first time, kind of.
You disappointed me a lot, but never like this, Tony. Never like this. Well, we'll get into it. Okay, so let's start by talking about what is going to... So we, our next pay-per-view, of course, a mere month from now, KMS, is World's End. So let's talk about one thing that's going to be dominating the wrestling landscape between now and then, which is the Continental Classic Tournament that Tony announced a few weeks ago or something. We did... After much complaining from the IWC about how they wanted to fill out brackets, which I really supported. I was like, I support everybody who wants to fill out a bracket. And then I saw my first bracket that was filled out. And I said, I don't know what this is. I don't understand this. I don't know what I'm looking at. So I love my peers who are filling out their brackets and I don't get it. But everyone was like, Tony, you have to tell us who's on the team so we can do the matchups and we can do our brackets. And Tony finally acquiesced this week. So we got the list of everybody who's in the blue group and everyone who's in the gold group. Oh, like the dress. that's probably what it's referencing.
I'm sure that is, yeah.
And so the way that this works is there's six people in each bracket, and then everyone's going to fight each other, and then at certain points, you get points for different things, and points get tallied, and then two people fight at the end.
That's right, yeah.
Yay, Allie, you did it. Do you guys want to talk, are you interested in this, excited about this, cold on this? Where do you stand?
I was feeling very down about wrestling after the pay-per-view, and then these names got released, and I was like, oh, because I like many of the people. So I was like, I'm kind of excited for this. Like, this could be fun. But I'm also fully expecting to be disappointed. Like, I'm fully expecting it to be a bunch of matches that don't, like, connect to anything or, like, move any stories forward, like, just grab big matches. Yeah. So that's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that we've gotten tournamented out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I get that this is exciting because it's modeled on the G1, but I don't have any association with the G1, and I've watched a lot of tournaments that didn't actually end up doing anything. So it's like I'm trying not to be like a downer about it, but I am like, whatever.
Yeah, it's like it'll be some good matches. And then the fact that it's for like a Triple Crown belt. I don't know. There's so many belts. Like, can't we just give them a trophy and be done with it? Like, I don't know.
Or just tell them good job. It's you know, that's what it's like. You got some millennials in there, right? That's supposed to be what we, well, I guess everyone says we all got trophies, but in my experience, nobody got trophies and everybody just got told good work.
All these kids are addicted to their self-esteem and they're feeling good about themselves.
Just tell the wrestlers, like, wow, you guys really got out there and got after it. That's amazing.
That's
you
so did cool. Good wrestling.
You're such sweet boys. Good for you. Yeah, I'm interested in what's going on with that, because I haven't really been able to track very closely whether people think that NJPW is, like, mad about what happened or whether they're over it, or because I think they announced some stuff without clearing it, maybe. Anyway, we'll see. Do you want to talk about this Eddie Ortiz thing? I missed the Eddie match in the 0 hour, so I didn't know why it was coming up, but I was very happy to discuss it.
I mean, I don't think we know that much. So the last time that Eddie and Ortiz were in a ring together, Eddie turned on Ortiz and hit him with a chair. That's right. And we all had I think we were supposed to believe that Eddie had turned heel, but instead we were all like, wow, I didn't know Ortiz had bad vibes. But so who was coming after Eddie? Like, who was he even fighting? I already forgot who it was.
He fought Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
So that was the fucking good stupid ass guitar. They were coming after Eddie, and Ortiz ran out and saved him and then walked Eddie to the back, but they didn't really interact. They didn't, like, talk to each other. There wasn't, like, a moment where Eddie was like, oh my god, it's Ortiz, I guess he's forgiven me. Like, I don't know.
Was Ortiz not in the street fight at All In?
He was, but he was on the other side, wasn't he? He was on BCC's side.
Maybe so. I don't know. I just don't know.
I feel like with Collision happening and where, like, I don't necessarily watch it, then it's like, has the story been bad with stuff getting dropped? Or, like, did I just miss the Collision where they did something? And that's kind of annoying to me.
I know. Collision has absolutely fucked my shit. I mean, yeah. I don't really have the ability to function brain-wise anymore because of it. Well, do you guys have predictions about who is going to ultimately win this? Maybe I should have read off all the guys, but that seemed like such a pointless waste of time. So, yeah.
Google it yourself, listeners.
Who do you think it's going to come down to?
I could see it coming down to, like, Eddie versus Swerve,
Mox.
Maybe, or
it
Mox.
Could be Eddie versus Mox.
It could be Eddie Mox.
Enjoy Eddie Mox. Yeah,
I'd really enjoy it. I'd be a little confused about, like, why don't you do do that as an actual storyline that you've been teasing for a long time? But I guess,
yeah.
I guess then it could lead into a storyline instead of being the culmination of a storyline. Allie, be nice. So it could be good. And of course I want to watch him fight.
Oh yeah. Hardcore. Yeah. If they gave me just one or two promos between those guys, it would be.
God. Yeah. The thing about Swerve is that, like, I don't want him to win it because I don't want him to be distracted by whatever this triple crown belt thing is. I want him to be...
this horse belt, as they pointed out.
This pretty pony triple crown belt, yeah.
It's like, who's going to win this if it's the prettiest pony belt? Maybe little Daniel Garcia? Maybe little Daniel Garcia is the little prettiest pony?
Well, that is what our friend Mary is always saying, is that the New Japan tournaments usually have, like, either huge upsets or some kind of, like, I don't know, game-changing situation. So it would be, like, huge if Danny Garcia won.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's interesting that he's in there and, like, the whole BCC is in there, except for Yuta. Yeah. And that would be it would be interesting to pick some of those storylines back up again. I think we're all antsy to see him get to do something else exciting. So... That's kind of fun. That could be fun. And Eddie, and of course, they've had an amazing feud before. So, wow. I love the Continental Classic? I'm getting a little excited.
Yeah, honestly, if they use it to, like, tie into some storylines, like, it could be really fantastic. And I hope that they do.
Oh, listen to that, Tony. Some great attitudes from your best girls. Okay. Should we move on to talking about some other things?
Yes,
powerfully and excitedly. Okay, we're going to start with what's been going on with MJF. So MJF did give in, and he teamed with Samoa Joe for his 0 hour match versus the Guns at Full Gear, and he won. Adam Cole, though, showed up at some point, like, mid-match. Could that be right? He made a surprise appearance. I'm sorry to ask you guys, like, I'm forcing you to answer that. You don't have to answer that. Adam Cole made a surprise appearance that I think distracted MJF and led to the guns, like, beating up on MJF more. And he got injured. He hurt, his knee was hurt because of the guns kicking it. So everyone was really worried about his knee, and they put him in a in an ambulance to take him to the hospital, and Adam Cole was there, and MJF was saying, Adam, don't let them take my belt, Adam! And he got taken off to the hospital, and commentary said something so strange, which was, I think it was Nigel, whom I hate. Nigel was like, well, I guess Jay White gets the belt now, which is like, that doesn't make any sense. But then this turned into the storyline of the whole pay-per-view, where later Tony Schiavone did come out to be like, well, because MJF is at the hospital and can't fight, then I guess it looks like Jay White will be getting the belt. Nonsense. But Adam Cole interrupted to be like, no, I will fight for MJF's belt. And it's like, you have a shattered foot. You have a fully shattered foot.
They're like, guess what, guys? New rules. If you're not there, you lose the belt. And also, anyone can defend a belt that they don't have. It's not a problem. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even think Samoa Joe should be allowed to defend this belt with MJF, the tag team belt with MJF. Like, this doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But, so we got to the end of the show. This was the main event. And Adam Cole came out to fight Jay White. And he has his little cast on and everything. But then MJF came back from the hospital to fight his match, and he was coming down to the ring, and security is trying to stop him from getting to the ring because he's too injured to fight. There is a man with a shattered foot in the ring right now. Like, I don't ask for a lot, but this is not making a ton of sense to me. It doesn't make sense. So then MJF fought Jay White, even though he was injured, and Adam Cole was ringside. And we had two different things that Adam Cole did that were like, it was like, is he trying to help MJF? Unsure. But the result is that he hurts MJF. So there's a little question of what's going on with Adam Cole. And that ran through the whole show. And I think cast a bit of a pall over the show. A little bit.
Yes, little bit. I'd say that.
Yeah, it didn't put me in the best mood of my life, I would say.
What happened, guys? Like, should we try and work through it together? Because it's like, I think we've been really permissive, and we like a lot of what MJF has done, or at least, like, there's plenty of stuff that other people have felt really strongly about that we didn't feel that strongly about. This was a bit of a breaking point. It didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. No, it didn't, and it just didn't make sense, because, like, if they wanted to have Adam Cole be ringside for the Samoa Joe match, it would have been so easy to, like, start the show with, like, MJF trying to call Adam Cole and Adam Cole not answering, and Samoa Joe coming by and saying, like, some ominous nonsense about him being MJF's only friend or something, like something really sad. Mm-hmm. And then MJF comes out to go, like, to get ready for the tag match, and Adam Cole shows up. Like, that would have been, like, a really feel good moment. And we would have been like, he's here. He friend. Nice.
Him friend.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like for me, it's just like the MJF stuff has stopped progressing. Like, over the summer when I was enjoying it, it was like he and Adam Cole were being friends. Like, stuff was happening. Like, every week it was like a little bit different and it was moving forward. And then since Adam Cole's been injured, like, it was okay for a couple of weeks, but it's like they've just kept, like, repeating the same jokes over and over. Like, the relationships haven't changed at all. Mm-hmm. Adam Cole's not there. It's all, like, long distance. It's like, I'm not interested in watching them have, like, a long distance friendship. And then they show up, and it feels very, like, self-indulgent and weird. It's, like, not a straight, it's a very hat on a hat story, like, overbooking, whatever. Yeah. And right. Like, it didn't feel like anyone's characters were really consistent. And then I don't know if they've been hamming it up more, but I felt like also the MJF injury stuff, like, juxtaposed with, like, what Swerve and Hangman did looked very stupid. So, like, that didn't help anything also. But I do think it's just, like, they've just run these jokes into the ground, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, I've really started to think about how this is like when you sit down to, like, plan out a story or something and you're like, these are the beats I need. And then when you go in to fill it in, like, sometimes you find out, like, oh, I absolutely don't need three chapters before that beat. That would be crazy. Yeah. That's too much time. Like, you don't need it. But sometimes it does feel like they sat down, they're like, okay, this is the storyline and this is how it's going to interact with the pay-per-views, and somehow failed to think like, and what will that look like on TV every single week? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it feels like there's stuff that, I guess, I don't know, because like, we could get to World's End and nothing happens. And that would be kind of the funniest thing of all. But sometimes it feels like it's like, okay, so they feel like they have all these storylines riding on that they're going to bring to a climax at World's End. So they're drawing stuff out until then. But it's like, you don't have enough material to draw out until then, because as you pointed out, like, we're not trying to get the characters anywhere else, as far as I can tell. They're kind of where they need to be. So whatever's supposed to happen should kind of like happen now.
Right. They've kind of been where they needed to be since like September. And I feel like a lot of times, like with injuries, Tony Khan ends up in this like stall out storyline. Like, even Best Friends and Miro, like Trent was out with injury and they just kind of like stalled out for weeks and weeks, but it like wasn't as hard to watch because they were a much smaller part of the show than MJF is. So that also doesn't help.
Yeah. And that was the thing that it's like, I am in a place right now where I'm so cranky that I know that sometimes I'm maybe not being fair, but that I keep thinking like, why should the whole pay-per-view have been about MJF? Why did I keep hearing about MJF? And it's like, well, he's the world champion. So I guess for that reason. And it's like, if I was hearing about the Young Bucks all pay-per-view, I'd be happy about it. But I'm just kind of like, it just is too much. It's too much of one character.
Yeah. Right. And I feel other times, like other world champions, and there's usually like at least three kind of juicy storylines going on in AEW. And lately there has been not. There has been one. And
zero
it's,
juicy.
Yeah, zero juicy, really.
Juiceless. Juiceless AEW strikes again.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. There's some juice.
Of the MJF stuff too, it's like if you just reined it in, it would be fine. Like, even not to skip ahead to the Dynamite stuff, but it's like he had this promo that went on forever and like also didn't have enough content to fill that point. And really, like, no wrestling promo should really go longer than 5 minutes because they never have much more to say. But like,
although I think it's interesting because we watched Dynamite together, and this is also stepping on something we'll get to later, and we all were so cranked out about this about this MJF promo, and then later we're kind of worn down. So but it was interesting when I looked at your notes and also was looking at my own heart, like, how did I feel? We all had a really good time during the Christian Cage promo later, which also ran long, but we all were like, yeah, that was fun and fine. But while it was happening, I was not in an amazing mood, even though I was like appreciating it. Like, I wasn't in an amazing mood because I was so annoyed about having already had to watch a very long promo segment that to me didn't do anything. So it's don't step on stuff that I do like. Mm-hmm. Let's explain what happened on Dynamite.
Well, I feel like the Christian thing, though, like, he did have more to fill that because it was like he had his relationship with Luchasaurus, with Nick Wayne, with Copeland, a lot of people.
Yeah, it's like actual stuff is going on for sure. I didn't mean to imply that.
But it's interesting to compare the two because it's like, for me, that one was much more successful. But it's like, that's because like it was just MJF and Adam Cole doing like self-indulgent catchphrases for like 15 minutes and like nothing happened.
Right. Because what happened is MJF and Adam Cole came out both injured and made their way down to the ring. And immediately I was really troubled because when two men are injured and moving at the speed that they're injured at, I said, well, they're not going to leave again anytime soon. It's taking them 10 minutes to get down there. So they're about to post up. And they did post.
You're at the Oscars. They just called best costume. The woman is all the way in the back. 20 years to get down to the front. Let's move it along.
So they got in there. They did all their catchphrases. And it's like, again, Leah, you said this week, not to call you out about it, but you said, am I starting to absorb WWE shit as a valid thing to say? And it's like a little bit, because when I hear 10 catchphrases in a minute, I'm like, I don't know for sure, but that seems like WWE shit. I don't feel like I should be hearing like an endless stream of catchphrases. I'd like it when people say sentences.
When Adam Cole said, it's time for story time with Adam Cole, baby, and my reaction was, this is revolting. Like, shut the fuck up. To that catchphrase, which normally I enjoy so much, I was like, we have taken a wrong turn.
Yeah. It just didn't feel good. And then they didn't, I did not feel like they got into anything new in this promo because they just talked for a while about something that I don't remember. And then Samoa Joe came out and was like, I want my match that I was promised. And MJF said no. And then Adam Cole lectured him about like being a good person.
And Adam Cole, who tried to cheat like five different times at the match in the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was also nonsensical because it's like, Adam Cole, like you are a good guy by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah.
Like, if he had said to, like, MJF, if he had been, like, come here for a second, and then, like, stage whispered and been, like, you can't turn him down in front of all these people.
Yes.
Say yes now, and then we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I would have believed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such a good point.
And it was just like, who do you guys think your characters are? Like, what are we doing here? I don't know.
Well, but then, so then there was a thing where, did you guys watch this, like, or did you see this tweet that I was talking about? Mm. Okay, I saw a tweet where, and it's just like, sometimes I'm like, should I be finding this many clues? Like, should we be looking for clues like this? I don't know. But someone was like, did you see that when, like, right before the Devil promo came on, Adam Cole slipped his hand into his pocket. And then as the Devil promo ended, you saw him taking his hand back out of his pocket, like he cued the video. Hmm. And I was like, honestly, at this point, because he's still here, I'm like, Maybe so. Yeah. So. Of course, right. And we saw this Devil video, and the other thing going on is that people were like, that's absolutely Jack Perry laughing, which I did also think. And then I was like, it feels crazy to say that, but I did think so.
No, I didn't pick it up at the time, but I went back and watched it after people said that. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, it definitely is. Yeah. That's crazy.
Before I forget to say this at another point, I just want to say that did make me think, because then I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, so Adam Cole maybe did something, maybe has something to do with the Devil. Maybe Jack Perry is in the Devil mask. The Young Bucks, Jack Perry, Adam Cole, new finish. And I didn't hate that.
I mean,
no, I don't hate that.
It's not a no for me. No.
We'll get into it more later. But anyway, but then I was like, okay, well, if Adam Cole has something to do with it, then he wants MJF maybe to fight Samoa Joe so he gets beaten. But it's like none of it makes sense because I'm like, I feel like there are a lot of much easier ways that Adam Cole could be fucking MJF over than what we're being teased that maybe is happening. So I don't fucking know.
It's so frustrating. And it's like, if Adam Cole is injured, which I assume he is, although prove me wrong, I guess, it's just like, the whole thing feels so like pointless and impotent for me. It's like, we're not going to a match, so why are we still doing things with Adam Cole, you know?
I know.
I'll tell you for free, if Adam Cole is not injured, if they've been like exaggerating it, I really will be annoyed because it's one thing to work people and kind of be like winking about it or doing it in specific ways. But they have been very careful to signal all of the ways they've ever used in the past to be like, no, we're serious about this. So if they take it back and are like, no, it was a work, then I really will be like, we're never going to believe you about any kind of medical shit ever again. You know, like I really will be annoyed about that.
And if it's a work, why have you done the worst storytelling of your lives in the last 2 months?
Well, it has to be injured to some degree. That's how I feel. That's where I've landed. I'm like, it has to be injured to some degree. It could be less injured than they've said.
Yeah, if it's less injured and earlier return, but like if it comes out later that like
it's not injured.
He ace bandaged it for a week and it was never, he never had surgery. I will be like, what are we doing? What did we do all of this for?
Then why, Tony? If that happened, I really would be like, okay, shut it down. Oh, gold case. what do I think of? Okay. Yeah. So anyway, that's all the stuff that happened. Do we have anything else to say? I think we said all of it. Like, it's just annoying.
Yeah.
It's annoying me to be annoyed, and I don't want to become a bad attitude person, and I generally think I'm not. And I'm trying to have fun, and I do just want to see different stuff happening. Like, I can't. There was another Adam Cole promo after this on the show that again was just Roddy being like, Adam, I'm nice, we're friends, but MJF is bad, and Adam being like, go away, Roddy, and it's like, guys, there has to be new content. Like, I'm very open to being entertained, but it has been the exact same promo, like, 10
it's
times
like,
now.
Literally the Outcast situation. It's like, we're just somehow rerunning the same episode over and over, and I'm sick of it.
It's just kind of annoying to me, because all of the people who hated the Brochacho stuff from the beginning were so annoying about the reasons that they didn't like it. And now I feel like they're all doing a victory lap because everybody hates it. And I want to keep being like, the reasons that I am annoyed about it now are not the same as the reasons you always hated it. Yes. So this, like, you got a W on this, but it is not a true one. Like, you didn't call this, you know?
It's like being like, the Office sucks, like, in season 2, and then when it's bad in season 7, being like, I told you, and it's like, well, actually, like, the quality did decline, so, okay.
Yeah, significantly, right. Yes. Pretty significantly, yeah. Yeah, no, I 100% agree. So, it's like, show us dumb, goofy stuff, but we must have new goofs.
Yes, new goofs. Goofs. For God's sake.
I have to be fed new goofs.
Feed me. Okay. well, speaking of getting fed, though. Swerve and Hangman had their Texas death match, and Swerve won. He hung the Hangman. There was so much blood in this match.
Oh, my God.
And then I forgot that we had a whole week of discourse where everyone was like, girls hate blood, and this is turning them off the product. And it's like, girls are fucking feral for blood and for sexy men and their sexy, slick bodies rolling around, fluid exchanging, swallowing each other's blood, blowing it in the air, kissing each other on the mouth. I wish I'd seen it.
Don't you think sometimes that the men who are like, women hate gore, this was too much gore for women, don't you think it's just that those men are squeamish and they didn't enjoy the gore and they're trying to put it off on women? The same way people are like,
on us.
Yeah, it's my not us.
My best friend super projects on her dog, and sometimes she'll be like, I think it's time for Max to go to sleep. And it's like, oh, I think Tracy wants to go to sleep. Or she'll be like, Max seems bored and needs a walk. And you're like, okay, Tracy wants a walk. This is that where they're like, I think the women were really grossed out. And I think the women would be more comfortable if there wasn't so much blood. And the women told me that there should just be less of that.
Yeah. Okay. And like also new viewers, they won't like this thing. This new Japan thing, like they won't understand it. Yeah.
Oh my
God. Definitely not that I
dislike
it.
But in fact, the stuff that confused us as new/casual viewers was never the stuff that they
always
were convinced.
Yep. No.
WWE stuff. Totally projection. Yeah. But I do think, squeamishness is not gendered, and these men who are squeamish just have to pretend like they, of course, love it. They're just really concerned about the women's
experience.
You know
what I want to say to them? I'm like, it's okay to be squeamish. Like, it's okay to just say, like, oh, blood makes me feel kind of sicky sick, so it was too much for me. Like, that's fine.
Yeah,
it did not make
me
feel sicky sick.
No.
I was... It made me feel really fun.
more horned up than I have been in my whole life, but maybe, you know...
Slime City.
Jim Cornette, if you didn't like watching a man staple things to himself, that's, you know, that's okay, buddy.
That's okay. It's okay. We can all like what we like. That's okay. So hot. What'd you guys like about it?
Oh, my God.
What didn't I like?
It was wild. I think, like, they're smart when they do so. It's like thumbtacks also, but the staples were so, like, viscerally, like, uncomfortable. Yeah. But it's like, as a human, like, I don't know what it feels like to take a suplex, but staples hurt, you know? So even though probably a suplex hurts more, it's like, oh, it really gets to you when they're doing
the
that.
The staples in, like, the meat of his chest were really visceral and, like, oh, my God. But then when he started stapling his face, that's when I lost it. And I was just making these low growling noises in my throat.
The girlies were barking. And then the glass too. I don't know if it was sugar glass. I kind of assume, but whatever it was, that
real glass, Crimea River,
real grass. I don't know what it was, but that also was very visceral for me. Just like because it was all crushed in the first place, and it's like. Sometimes I've like dropped a lot of glass in my storage unit and I love to go down there and organize it barefoot. Don't come at me. And then sometimes I'll just get like one little piece stuck in my foot, which I could have seen coming. Like, it's like, wear shoes. You know, there's glass everywhere down there. Wear shoes. And that's like it for the next 3 days. That's the only thing I'll be thinking about is one little piece of glass in my foot that I can't get out. So I was watching the glass stuff just like, absolutely no. Absolutely no.
Wild.
So scary and sexy.
I felt like the barbed wire also was crazier in this one. Like, I'm pretty a nerd to barbed wire, but like when it was in his hair.
Yes.
And kind of catching.
It kind of reminded you of like what is like bad and dangerous about barbed wire? Because sometimes it can look so fun and like cotton candy-ish that you're just like, barbed wire is fine. But when it was caught in his hair, you did think like, wow, barbed wire is what you use to keep people out of places. That's I'm remembering that all of a sudden.
Oh, and the really blood drinking spot, man.
My God.
Wow. I mean.
I mean.
Unreal.
Unfortunately.
The fact that it was Hangman's idea. Wow.
Yeah.
He's a sicko.
Yeah. Wow. I just read a tweet the other day that was talking about like gothic literature and being like, gothic literature is so hot because it understands that like the horniest thing in the world is like repulsion. And I was like, that's so right. It's so gross. Therefore, it's so hot. It is gothic. Oh, it's literally.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy after Hangman and Mox had that one that I thought they like invented so many new ways of being disgustingly like, you know, breaking each other's hands on bricks and stuff. And then for this one to top it, it's just like absolute bananas.
Yeah. So it's really good. We did learn some stuff. I don't know. I guess about wrestling. We're always learning new stuff about wrestling. Was it Dave Meltzer who said that it was a real baby face move for Swerve to staple himself?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, well, Swerve has to turn baby's face now. If they didn't consider that when they booked that spot, they're out of their minds because that was a total baby space spot. And I'm like, oh my God. I sometimes think I'll never understand wrestling.
No.
That was a real, like, here I've been thinking of like a baby face as the good guy, but they just mean someone who gets cheers, like regardless of how they're behaving, I guess.
I guess that's kind of right. Cause I also was like, no, look at how he's doing it. Like if I saw this in a TV show, it'd be like, this is ultimate villain moment of just like, you can't hurt me more than I hurt myself. Like, yeah, of course, like everyone's gonna want to fuck him. Like that, of course, but
right.
It doesn't make him the good guy. Issue.
Right, but then, exactly.
Did you guys watch this promo that, like, I guess it was from this week, but I hadn't seen, I don't know where it came from, but Trish, fellow beloved podcaster Trish, retweeted it and was pointing out that it was kind of a babyface promo, and I watched it, and I was like, yeah, it is a total, like, not full babyface, but it is headed in that direction, absolutely, like, because it's about, like, he's doing this thing where it's, like, he's, like, following the pulse of his heart and people are starting to hear it. I don't know, it's the whole thing. And I was like, so I watched that and I was like, yeah, I do get why it's like he's getting these huge reactions. So it's like, maybe I do understand. Like, it's like, okay, so now he turned babyface, but it's like, he was not a babyface during that match. And wrestling is insane where it's like, why did the match happen? Cause he go into man's house and threaten his baby in a crib.
Like, it's wild.
Never talk about that again.
And it's like, people thought it was cool, so they cheered. So now he's good, I guess. Like, I don't know. I feel like we need to rethink how we're coming at this. Cause it's like, and it's also such a shame to turn him like pure babyface because he's such a good villain. He's so hardcore.
And it's like, sometimes it is like a villain that you want to cheer for a little bit, but then he goes too far and you don't want to cheer anymore. But then you remember why you were on his side in the first place and you do want to cheer. That is a classic like TV character. I don't really understand why. We don't really seem to know how to deal with it in the wrestling space. Yeah. So instead, like it's like with MJF doing this thing of being like, MJF's a good guy now. And it's like, MJF is bad. MJF is bad for sure. And MJF is not atoned for any of his sins.
He is morally bankrupt.
But again, it's a problem of the culture. And so you can't put it all at wrestling's feet because it's like, it's a damaged culture. Well, the things that the crowd cheers for, I don't know that, like, it's like, how much control do you have over it? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, for sure. And I was thinking, like, okay, like Spike on Buffy became a very popular villain, and then they did actually babyface him. It's like, but they took quite a bit of time to get there, whereas in wrestling, it's like, wow, the crowd really cheered Swerve stapling himself. So I guess now, next week, he'll be a good week.
Yeah. I know.
He'll be a good guy. He'll be a good guy because a bad guy attacked him. You know what I mean? That's the turns that I never understand. It'll be like Swerve comes out and then, you know, Hobbs attacks him and suddenly it's like, well, he's a baby face now because Hobbs attacked him. And you're like,
it's the transitive property, girls. It is. Spike is the character that I think about a lot when we're talking about face heel stuff and like how you turn someone from a heel to a face and vice versa. And it is like a lot of the confusion in wrestling for me does come from like the timing and the fact that people don't really have like such long-term arcs that they can take like one step forward, two steps back that yeah. much. Like it really is like, no, you're going to be a baby face now. So keep taking steps forward because we're baby facing you. And right. I don't yeah. like that as well. Or like often I'll end up being like, well, this doesn't make sense. That's still a heel.
Yeah.
But whatever.
And it's like, and some people have characters where you can kind of, they're right on like an, like I feel like Mox, you know, people who are kind of, I guess, tweeners in general, but it's like Mox in certain situations can be a baby face and then certain situations be a heel, but have the same underlying personality. Whereas
yeah,
for other people, they just don't do it very smoothly.
But I'm not even criticizing Swerve about what he's
no,
like.
Not
it's like
Swerve.
I like no, no, I know. I'm like I just like I like the promo, but I do think that we all it, just when you hear people talk about just Dave yeah, Meltzer being like he stapled himself, so that's a baby face. It's like Dave, you have to go touch grass. You must go touch grass. It's not normal. Okay, and then Swerve is in the Continental Classic. So he did fight Jay Lethal on Dynamite on Wednesday, and he'll be fighting other men in the bracket.
Huge pops for Swerve. I mean,
huge.
This
insane.
This pay-per-view match, I mean, rightly was like highly praised, and like everyone has really internalized that like Swerve is our guy now. So yeah. they need to do something with that.
Yeah, and I think
it was cool.
Kissing
it was fun
based.
To watch. Yeah,
that's,
I think
and that's
so.
A personal opinion that I have. Mm-hmm. okay, we want to move on to talk about the Elite, the rest of the yep. Elite. So let's all limber up. So Kenny and Jericho beat the Young Bucks in a match that was forced to follow Hangman Swerve. I don't know why Kenny keeps, or Kenny, sorry, Kenny, not you, Tony. I don't know why Tony keeps block booking the Elite at these pay-per-views. Like he's like, yes, we'll just have three Elite matches in a row. It's like, I have to have some time to take a drink. Just separate them. But so Kenny was pretty impassive. The Bucks were pretty pissed during the match. Now, did both these things happen? I said that Nick need Chris Jericho. Nick need Chris Jericho in the nuts. Matt kicked Kenny in the nuts. So there's a lot of nut stuff. Classic.
It was Nick need Chris Jericho in the nuts. And then I think it was Aubrey was yelling at him. And while her back was turned, Matt kicked Kenny in the nuts.
Oh, little rat boy. Now, help me with this one, too. So Kenny did try to one-winged angel Matt. Did he actually manage to do it, or did he win with the V-trigger?
No, he did. I think he got Nick up, and Nick escaped it. And then Matt did one-wing angel Kenny, but Kenny kicked out. And then Kenny got Matt up and actually got him.
Thank you. Thank you, Leah. You're my special reporter and you're my very good girl and you got an A+.
And that's a point on the board.
It's two, baby. You helped me a lot there.
Give her a three in her little bracket.
You got a three in the bracket. Wow. I wonder if you're going to go to the finals. That'll be exciting to find out. So afterwards, Nick and Matt had an insane hissy fit, just so fucking mad, going around hitting the ring and stuff and stomped away with Kenny doing his put upon wife face again, where he's just like, guys, please.
You don't have to do this.
You don't have to do this. Then we got a lot of social media follow up. So they're doing a bit now where Brandon is posting things like sources from the Bucks camp say the Bucks will not be backstage this week. Sources from the Bucks camp said that BTE is over. Sources from the Bucks camp are saying all kinds of things. So let's talk about our feelings about the match. Does my special reporter want to talk to us?
Sad.
Yeah, sad. Yeah, sad.
So we did not watch Full Gear live because we had plans. But yeah. Then I spoiled myself for,
yeah,
I want to say
too.
Like 90% of the
most
pay-per-view, but specifically yeah. for this. And I was watching one of our like friends who were doing a live watch, and for a while I couldn't tell who had won because they were just like, oh, well, okay, all right. And I was just like, oh, guys, who won here? And that's just like how I feel about the end, where it's just deflating, because it's also like it's not like it pushed Kenny anywhere either. Like, at least if it set something up for Kenny and Jericho, then at least you'd be like, well, you know, Matt and Nick don't mind losing, so like it's in service of a story. But like it didn't And the thing is that I also feel like for the first time, I wished that we didn't have a podcast because I was like, I would really love to fast forward to 6 months from now, because I think that there is a huge chance that in 6 months, I'm going to look back on this and be like, wow, I had no idea that that loss actually kicked off this huge thing. And I ended up the happiest person that have ever existed. That might happen. But this last year and a half of disappointments has kind of eroded my trust. So it's, I don't entirely feel sure that there is. I mean, clearly they're doing something. Like, very clearly there, something is coming. Is it something I'm going to enjoy? Is it something that's going to work? Is it something that's going to be pulled off? I don't know. I don't know. But it's really hard to be in this moment. You know, I want to be in the moment 6 months from now that I can comment on it.
Well, it's weird when the, like, the pacing has still been so weird. And now it's like Jericho and Kenny might go get the tag belts. Like, what are we doing there? And I don't know. It's just like, Punk got fired and they re-signed, so I would have thought we'd be in like a juicy little storyline by now, and we're just not, and I don't understand why, and it's a bummer.
Yeah. I wandered and had a lot of thoughts that I don't know how to, I was thinking about how I hope that, wouldn't it be great if at Winter is Coming, no, that's not...
The world's end.
The world's end.
Winter's end of the world.
I was in a zone where I was like, yeah, we're in like a really, really bad Marvel movie. And then I was like, maybe people will get snapped. Maybe half the roster will get snapped at world's.
You know what? I was thinking that that's the period of time where we were at our most bratty about seeing new men. And we just kept being like, I cannot meet new men. And we kept seeing new men. That period of time, almost everybody who got hired then was
turned
a
out to
bad
suck.
Hire. Yeah, so we were right.
We were right.
We were right to not be happy about that.
And you know
that
what? Influx. We were especially right because look at all the men that we welcomed into our hearts who have been great little guys. Really fun little dudes. So
we got great taste, you guys.
Amen, sister. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think it's like, you don't know where it'll go. It is kind of like, I'm glad they're doing something. Like, I'm glad, but I feel really sad because I'm like, are the Bucks even friends with Hangman now? Like, it seems like they're like doing their own thing. And I don't know if they were like, we need to just split up the Elite storylines. It's just like, it sucks. Cause it's like, they were doing really good long-term storytelling for a long time. And the events of the past couple years, like, totally threw it off and they couldn't do it anymore. And it just does seem kind of clear to me that it's been like really hard for a lot of reasons to figure out, okay, well, what are we going to do now? Like, what?
Right.
And it's just still not really clear what they are doing. And
it is weird. I just feel like we haven't even seen Hangman like talk to them anymore. So you're just like intuiting like, oh, you guys aren't really friends, I guess.
But also that often in wrestling, that just means like, yes, they are still friends, but they're not doing something with it. Like that's like Eddie and Mox at various points have been not in an active storyline, but then it'll just be like, oh yeah, I was talking to Mox. Like where it's like, oh yeah, they're aligned, but we're just not seeing it. That's not that uncommon. It's not what I prefer because I like to see friends hang out, but it's not that uncommon in wrestling. So that could be what's going on, but it's not really normal for the Elite. So it's just unclear. And
it's weird after like they had a big reunion storyline that they rushed to then just fast forward to this. I don't know. It all feels like a mess.
But they were my sweet boys and I love them. So the outcome of this match, aside from emotionally deflating us a little bit, because it is like, and then also the other thing is just like, the Young Bucks are the best tag team on the planet. So they should kind of be able to win.
I don't know if you noticed that Dax actually tweeted a list of the best tag teams.
Were they at the top?
And the Bucks weren't on it. No. So.
Oh, shit. Fuck, that's on me. So
If you want to edit that last sentence out, you know, we can do that.
The Bucks are not in the top 10 tag teams on the planet.
Yeah,
that's
Dax's opinion.
You know that I share Dax's opinion. He's a peacemaker.
Maybe if they try really, really hard, though, maybe they can get in there.
I don't know.
Someday.
They're little sissies, so. they're just the best. It's like the best, and they shouldn't be losing to Kenny and Chris Jericho. That's it. That's all I have to say, okay? That's all I have to say.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't. But
shouldn't.
For sure. Whatever.
Shouldn't.
But the outcome of the match was that Kenny and Jericho now have the tag title shot that the Bucks previously had. So let's skip over to quickly talk about the tag title ladder match that with the behind-the-scenes scuttlebutt being that they had to make it a ladder match because nobody wanted to get Finn, which is
These
so
men
funny.
Have the worst
Did we say
personalities.
That last week? I just keep thinking, I can't stop thinking about it. It's just like, wow, fucking duds. What a bunch of duds. Except that I've let Roosh and Dralistico get away with it because I'm like, Roosh has actually been on such good behavior. Everyone told me so. So if he doesn't want to lose to Ricky Starks, that's okay, actually. That's fine.
Yeah.
So I think people liked this. I did watch it. I didn't care about it. It wasn't interesting to me. Dave really liked it, but, you know, what are you going to do?
I think everybody said it was a really good match. Honestly, I was in a bad enough mood with most of these people that I just didn't really. So I apologize to Roosh and Dralistico.
And Big
who've
Bill.
Done nothing
and Big Bill. The three of you, you're fine.
I apologize to Big Bill for his whole life, okay?
Most
I'm
of
Big
all,
Bill,
yeah.
I am so sorry that you have to be in a tag team with this man. Sorry.
Big Bill in his little glasses backstage. Oh, cute as hell.
Big Bill. Yeah. So Big Bill and Ricky did retain the titles, which I guess this is like a fine. Ultimately, this is one of the. This is a fine outcome, I guess.
I
like,
guess.
If
to
FDR
me,
had
it was
gotten
just like,
that belt back, I would have been ripshit. I mean, it would have been all over for me.
It'd be worse for sure. But this whole match just made me feel like, what are we doing with the tag? Like the tag belts in general, it's just like a ridiculous scene. Like Big Bill and Ricky still have them, and like it's trapped on Collision, and now Big J and Kenny are gonna go for them. Like why?
I know.
Why
and
don't
then
we have any tag teams?
Yeah, where are all the tag teams? Well, they're doing romance storylines, which we'll discuss. Okay, so Big Bill and Ricky did attack Jericho backstage afterwards. So I assume that's on the horizon for World's End. Does that seem?
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
And why will that be happening? It's not for me to know. And will the Bucks get to fight anybody? What if it's the first pay-per-view they miss?
It probably will be. It's just where we are.
I hope not. I hope that next week they're going to debut their new heel selves and they'll be there with Jungle Boy.
I think they would be KTV wrestling. KTV
wrestling.
Don't you think they'd be so good at mentoring little Jungle Boy and being like, it's time to be a little rat now with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that he would get a lot out of that.
I do too.
Okay. Well, let's move on to talking about, we had our OC Mox rematch. So OC did win. He had to orange punch Mox about 10 times in a row. And then I think he beach braked him. So he really had to wear Mox down. And he got his beautiful belt back that, you know, he loves so much. Mm-hmm. We had a little follow up this week on Dynamite where he, Shibata and Hook were fighting 2.0 and Jake Hager for reasons I have no idea. And at the beginning of the match, OC announced a little surprise, and the surprise was the return of Danhausen. So I'm going to jump off a bridge. Judah also showed up backstage on Dynamite to sneer and snap at Shibata, Hook, and OC all. So and he was referencing the ROH Pure Match Championship match that he had with Shibata, that Shibata won. So that's what's going on there. What do you guys think about this match and its outcome?
I don't know why it was so funny to me that OC, Hook, and Shibata all stood there not saying anything, holding up their belts and just, like, being their own brand of gimmick, but, like, similar gimmicks. I don't know. It just made me laugh. I was like,
just quiet boys.
Three little guys.
It's like, why do they like to hang out? Because it asks so little of them. They just don't have to talk that much. It's just this quiet little crew.
Yeah, this pay-per-view match with Orange and Mox was one of the other points of the pay-per-view where I was like, I just enjoyed this and I didn't have any negative feelings around it. And that was so nice and refreshing.
Yeah, I agree. It was a good match. I agree with everyone who said like it wasn't as intense as their first match or as the previous pay-per-view match. It wasn't like, but it was really good and I liked the outcome and I hope that there's a storyline that's going to happen here. I mean, I don't really know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm so curious about who he's eventually going to lose it to.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting with Yuta showing up to like yell at the three of them to be like, oh, maybe we could, let's move into a Yuta space.
Give Yuta that belt. If that's the first thing I'm ever right about in wrestling, I hope it is, because it's just sexy for a man to get destroyed by his own son in the ring. Mm-hmm. Okay. And let's talk about, do you have anything else you want to say about that? I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So Adam Copeland, Darby Allin, and Sting fought Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne at the pay-per-view, and the good guys, Team Sting, won. I think this match was fine. Don't remember it. Christian, though, blamed Luchasaurus for their loss. So he hosted this. It was pretty insane. Like, thinking back about what happened, I was like, wow, this was all-time crazy, actually. Yeah. I loved it. He hosted this in-ring segment in which he was like, I'm going to rechristen Nick Wayne and Luchasaurus. So he ordered Luchasaurus to kneel in the ring, and Luchasaurus didn't want to, but Christian kept being like, kneel now. So eventually he did, and Christian rechristened him Kill Switch, which I don't know if that's a reference to something or
it's somebody's finisher.
Oh, maybe it's Christian's killer finisher. Yeah, I think that's right. Okay, yeah. So because he said, you're my finisher, and then he turned to Nick Wayne, didn't say a word, and Nick Wayne just dropped to his knees cheerfully. He's like, I'm ready.
This was so funny. Honestly, like, I felt like Nick Wayne's character work in this promo was like fantastic. I was like, I'm so much more interested in him than I was.
I think it was really good character work, but also there was a whole segment. So Christian like got him back up and was like, you kneel for no man, which I love. But then there was a whole segment where Christian was talking to him, and it was so clear that Nick Wayne could not keep a straight face and was just like, crazy that this is my life. Like, that Christian Cage is just like calling me his beautiful boy in the ring right now. So he was like half cracking up, but it also worked. It was great.
It worked because he just looked like so pleased that Christian was so proud of him as a special boy at the same time, which
it's absolutely true. I'm absolutely not saying it didn't work. It really charmed me, though, that I was like, you cannot keep it together right now. And that makes sense. And then there was a whole thing where Nick Wayne's mom came out and Christian told Luchasaurus to beat her up, and Luchasaurus didn't want to beat up a mom, so he wasn't going to do it. But then Adam Copeland came out and he attacked Nick Wayne, and Luchasaurus, I guess, was like, okay, fine, well, I'm still with Christian. So he got Christian out of there, and then Adam Copeland just chair shotted Nick Wayne over and over again in front of his mom while Christian was on the ramp screaming, that's my child.
Total baby face move. 100% baby face. Don't worry about it.
And it's like, this was crazy, and I did love it. I was really glad to look back after I was in a better mood, to look back with more perspective and be like, yeah, that rocked.
That was so great. It was so much fun.
So funny.
The fact that Christian is calling his faction the patriarchy now is so funny. Like, that's genius.
Apparently that was a joke that Nigel made, and Christian liked it so much that he kept it.
It's really inspired. Christian always doing such good work. I have no idea what they're... It's like clearly something's brewing with Luchasaurus and how he's feeling about being a tool of evil, but I'm happy. This is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I love to be entertained.
Yeah. You know what? Entertainment is good. All right. Okay. Now let's hit the... we had two title changes in the women's division. So first, Tony beat Sheeta for the women's world title in a match where she stuck, I think, a frying pan on her butt and used it to take Sheeta out.
Yeah, I keep hearing people describe it in different ways. Somebody called it a drink tray. Somebody called it an ashtray. I don't know what we're calling that object.
I wish that they had given us a close-up of the object so that we would know what she had used. Because I didn't love that she used it. It really pushed the bounds of...
Yeah. I wish that there had been a different ref. Like,
Yeah.
If it was Rick Knox or Bryce, who canonically don't have side vision, would be fine. But like to do this to Aubrey, Aubrey had to pretend so hard that she couldn't see it.
And it was really falling out of the panties, too. It was where really I was like, falling out. Aubrey is earning her paycheck today, being like, looks like a normal butt to me. No problems there. And so then on Dynamite this week, Tony gave an acceptance speech. Mariah May was behind her going on this full face journey that indicated that they at some point, perhaps soon, will fight. And then there was a little tease of a potential Sky Blue feud upcoming. What did you guys think about the outcome and the prospects for Tony's reign?
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, he's never going to know what to do with Sheeta. Like, I just feel like Tony, Awfully Waffly and Waffly Bollocks was saying that, like, or maybe it was MJ, one of them were saying, like, Sheeta, her thing is that she gives really good matches. Like, that's what she does, and it fucking rules. But they never really give her anything else to do, which it can be hard for a title run, especially when the women's division isn't deep enough for Sheeta to have like an Orange Cassidy run, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it would be cool if she just had this run where she was just defending every single week and putting on banger matches, which she is capable of.
Yeah.
But we don't have that deep of a bench. But I'm not, like, I'm kind of, I don't know, I've resigned to, like, Sheeta, the situation with Sheeta, but, like, I'm really not looking forward to Tony becoming the female MJF in a way, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, it's the exact same conversation, sucking up the same amount of oxygen in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't want it.
And it is unfortunate that, like, Tony and MJF are both in this position now where it's like the discourse around them is so foul and unpleasant and bad mood inducing that, like, I wish that they would both change things just so I don't have to hear it anymore. I think that it is, like, honestly, at this point, a little more deserved for MJF than it is for Tony, because I will give it to her. Yeah. The segments are changing. They are different segments. Like, they're still extremely gimmicky, and I have, like, you know, mixed feelings about when that's working and when it's not. But I am seeing something different, a different element of it every week. And this week, like, they were doing the Mariah May thing, and I'm like, okay, it's moving forward. Something's going on here. So in that sense, I'm like, that's okay. It's okay if this isn't always for me. I like parts of it a lot. And then sometimes, like, the in-ring stuff, I'm like, I wish this wasn't happening, because you're a really good wrestler. You're so fun to watch. It's actually not as fun to watch you do you know, this cartoon pan in the butt stuff thing.
But yeah. Yeah, and, like, I think, like, I totally agree with all that, and I feel like the gimmick right now just feels like a brief bit. Like, it's fun as a garnish, and it's funny, but, like, when it's going to be taking up, like, a lot of time, and in the matches, it's like, I wish she was connecting it to more, like, motivation and her interplay with the feuds, where it's, like, mostly she's not. So it's, like, if she's going to be fighting Sheeta, like, it'd be nice if there was, like, a little more interaction that's not just people being like, she's being weird and she's being weird, but she's, like, so in her own universe being weird that it doesn't really come out of it. And I think I'd just enjoy it more if it hooked on to other people.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Well, let's check in on the other title change. So this was, we had the three-way between Chris, Sky Blue, and Julia Hart, and Julia Hart pinned Sky Blue for the win. This match, this was... the thing I got most clowned on in my Full Gear predictions, no mist. And it's like, I don't even want mist, but I was just like, yeah, they've been doing so much zany mist stuff, of course there's gonna be mist. Not a single mist spot. I'm like asking you guys afterwards, I'm like, was there mist? Did I miss some mist? No mist. Absolutely demoralizing for me. So Julia is our new champ. And then we got some Sky Blue follow-up this week on Dynamite. She fought and won a match versus Anna Jay and Ruby Soho with some ringside romance shenanigans we can check in on. So first, feelings about the title change.
I'm happy for Julia to have the title. I really like Julia. I think she's doing some good work. I think this combined with the Sheeta title change made me feel bummed about Chris's reign, because I feel like she hasn't gotten much time and didn't get much story. Like, there wasn't much substantial there. And for Sheeta, the same thing, where it was just like, it just kind of sucks that, like, you're the title holder, but you feel kind of like an afterthought in your own reign more. Yeah. So it's like, I'm not upset that Julia has it, but it just made me feel like, well, that seemed like a waste with Chris more than anything.
And if Chris had done something, if there had been something to say about her reign, I wouldn't be mad about this.
Yeah,
but what I just don't understand is if, like, Tony put a halt on the women's division waiting for Chris to come back, he wouldn't take it off Jade because Chris had to be the one to take it off her. And you would think that that signaled that there was something he wanted to do, that he desperately wanted her reign to be something. And the fact that it wasn't, like, that was the thing. It's like, it was never about her. It was always about the Miss stuff, which, again, like, I have very low standards, so, like, I was fine with it. But, like, it's crazy. I'm like, you didn't, like, what did you think her reign was going to be like?
Yeah. Right. What was the point of that long year where Jade had it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes Tony is like me when it's like he just wants to, like, buy all the materials that you need to do a new craft, but then he hasn't really thought about what the experience of doing that craft will be. You know what I mean?
No, it's true.
Did you think about what kind of tapestry you wanted to weave, or no? You just wanted to buy a fancy new tapestry weaver machine, loom?
Okay.
You spent 20 minutes on the tapestry and then you decide you're done with it? Tony?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Tone. Yeah, I agree that it's like, I'm not down on Julia at all. Like, I think I really like Julia. And I hope that she has a cool reign, and I'd love to see her do cool stuff. It really is just more like, okay, but what was the point of all this? And what are you going to do with Chris next? This is a final question I have for you guys. I want to get take a little pulse check. Nope. Okay. On Ruby Soho and Jeff Parker doing borderline smoochies, backstage, ringside, all over the place. Kiss, kiss, kiss. And that's a little storyline. What do you think?
I'm actually kind of into it. I feel like Jeff Parker's doing a good job of, like, sweet little I'm into her faces. So I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm a simple woman. Like, seems fine. I like it.
I have some kind of disease because I wasn't into it until Matt Menard got angry. And then I was like, okay, now I'm kind of into it.
I like that it caused some marital strife and that poor Matt Menard is like, you try to be a good husband. You try to be a good father. Your children, and then your children just turn on you. And then your husband is going out and finding a mistress. My life is hard.
And even Saraya scolding Ruby as they walked up the ramp. Like, and you could just see her henpecking at Ruby. Like, I was like, this is what comedy is.
Yeah, that was a good time.
I think I'm like, I don't know where it's going, but it was a light little interlude. And I don't have any complaints about it. And I actually liked Anna Jay also being like, Dad, you're going to cheer for me. You're going to cheer for me, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally, definitely, yeah.
Anna Jay being like, I do not want Ruby Soho to be my stepmother. Can you make this clear?
Oh, we got to have a little parent trap situation on our hands, maybe. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. I think that's all we got. Did I miss anything any of you really wanted to talk about?
RIP FTR champs, huh?
I'm really watch, they're going to win it back at Worlds.
Just
Kenny and Jericho
thanks
won't be
lot.
Able to make it to the match, so FTR will get put in instead, and they'll win, and they'll be the champs again.
Chris Jericho's knee gets hurt, so then Kenny has to find someone else to challenge for the champs, and it's gonna be Dax
Be Dax, yeah. Well, I think let's get those bets in now because I think we can make some money here. Okay, well, we'll be back next week with great attitudes and smiles in our hearts and. a dream in our step. Does that sound right?
Yeah,
on that note,
that's right.
I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving from Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, subscribe, submit. You can find the link on our socials if you want some AEW metal cards. And come back next week.